Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're pleased that you've chosen to download this first podcast dedicated to what SUEZ is seeing in the COVID-19 crisis. The format is straightforward. Mathilde and I will respond to a number of frequently asked questions, which reflect the discussions we've had with our shareholders, our investors, analysts over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Before starting, let me summarize the rationale for doing this. First, we've received many questions and want to consolidate the answers so that all our stakeholders can access them in this busy period. It enables us to comment on those questions in a unified way. We hope we can also, where possible, give useful information to you as to how the COVID-19 crisis is evolving for our industry overall. In general, we'll be giving information which is already publicly available, but hopefully in a form which makes it easier for you to use. We intend to do this format regularly to maintain the contact with all our shareholders, investors, and analysts, and we welcome your feedback. We do this in a spirit of openness and communication in these complicated times, which we believe we've tried to put into all our communications to date. Having said that, I would also like to stress the following points. We will not give material price sensitive information. If and when we have such information, of course, it will be given in the normal way. So please bear this in mind. Secondly, we encourage you not to try to use any of the information we're giving to model our business. There's nothing in what we say that should be taken as guidance in any way. Mathilde, I pass to you.
So with Julian's comment in mind, normally in presentation of this type, we have a disclaimer, and we encourage you to look at the disclaimer in the full year presentation that applies to this podcast. Now we move to questions. For Julian, what have you been saying about China?
So at the end of February, we started to comment on the impact of COVID-19 in China. To date, our experience in that country is in line with what we expected at the end of February. Our lines and our operations are returning to normal. So for example, our hazardous waste plants are starting up and our water volumes are also increasing. We said at the end of February that recovery would be gradual, and that's what we see. Mathilde, a question for you. What's the breakdown of our customer type, municipal, commercial, and industrial?
The split of our total revenue per customer type is roughly 60% with municipals and 40% with industrial and commercial. For EBIT, it is more 70-30. Our municipal business is around 70% in water and 30% in waste. With municipal customers, the duration of contracts is usually much longer, up to several decades. For INC customers, around 60% of our activities are around waste, and the remaining is our industrial water business, WTS. In our waste business as a whole, including hazardous waste, INC represents 65 to 70% of our revenue. Back to you, Julian. Tell us what proportion of your teams are at work today. What part on the ground, what part remotely? How much employees in temporary unemployment?
It's important to remember that we operate public services. Therefore, we need to guarantee continuity and quality of those services whilst ensuring the safety of our employees. Most of our employees are on the front line and are therefore still working. In countries where there's a population containment, we've reorganized the way we work as we've implemented our continuity plans. For example, we divide teams into two or three groups and we keep them separate, working in shifts, to prevent them from meeting and therefore limit the risk of transmission. In addition, we've been able to postpone all non-critical business. And that, for example, includes, where necessary, interventions in the field, maintenance and CapEx. To give you one example, we know that for some of our potable water facilities, we can run them with just 40% of our normal employee base in this crisis period. The vast majority of our headquarters and our offices and everywhere where it's required are all working remotely. So far, we find the connectivity has enabled us to work seamlessly. And that's important, not just for communication between us, but also, for example, in billing, collecting, and paying suppliers. As for technical unemployment and short-time work, it's very varied from place to place and country to country, both in terms of regulation and in terms of what we need to do, maintaining our public services, as I mentioned earlier. Most places where we work give us the ability to place people on short-time work, but we've made it clear that we will protect our employees in that status in our press release, which came out the day before yesterday, on the 8th. Matilda, I'll turn back to you. Could you comment on the oil price evolution, how it's impacting our business? And could you comment on WTS's sensitivity to oil, please?
The first direct impact of oil prices reduction is a positive one for a waste collection business. Indeed, we consume around 200 million liters of gasoil in our trucks. Actual level of oil prices allows to significantly reduce one of the main cost items of waste collection. However, depending on the country, we generally fix a proportion of our fuel costs in advance. As for WTS, there is no clear trends to be called out at this time. Bear in mind that a significant part of our business is based on recurring contracts. For example, most of our chemical business is recurring. It is a diversified business. Oil and gas represents close to 20% of WTS revenue, but we only do business in downstream oil and gas, refining and petrochemical industries. In some previous periods of low oil prices, margins in those industries have gone up. We would expect the production of jet fuel, for example, to be impacted, but that of other chemicals can equally go up. But we also do business with industries that are currently more resilient in this crisis. Food and bev, pharmaceutical and chemical industries, all together represent more than 20% of WTS sales. And we also have 15% of our business directly or indirectly done with municipals who continue to need our technologies or products and chemicals to run their potable water plants and wastewater plants. For Julien, what cash actions have you taken, and what are your near-term debt maturities?
Thank you, Mathilde. Cash is obviously a point of focus for all companies in these circumstances. So first, at the end of 2019, our liquidity position was 5.9 billion euros, of which 2.6 billion was cash and 3.3 billion available and committed undrawn credit lines. Since March the 26th, we've raised a total of nearly 1.2 billion euros of new long-term debt, 850 million in the public markets with a seven-year maturity, and the rest in private markets at longer maturities, including a last issuance on April 9th. To put that into perspective, the 850 million senior bond issuance is equivalent to all of the senior and hybrid bond redemptions of SUEZ at top company level until June 2022. Our main backup line is 2.5 billion euros. It was put in place in 2019 for 5 years with 2 one-year extensions, of which the first has been confirmed. So that backup line is now out to 2025. And the vast majority of our cash is available centrally. Mathilde, back to you. Cost reduction. In our press release, we talked about strong short-term measures to significantly reduce our expenses and costs beyond what was originally planned. What are we talking about? What kind of measures? And does it concern just costs that will come once volumes are back?
We're able to be reactive on costs, and we have already started. The different sources for cost reduction. First, variable costs. By definition, they vary in function of our activity. They disappear with the volumes and will return once the volumes are back. They represent close to around 30% of our cost base. But there is some areas where we can variabilize more and other where it is more difficult. For example, in waste, we do have room to variabilize approximately 10 to 15% of the fixed costs. Cuts on contractors, use of government measures for temporary unemployment. We stopped traveling since end of February. Some offices and facilities are closed, so we reduce consumption on these facilities, etc., etc. Second, the Shaping Suez 2030 performance plans, which calls for around 200 million euro gross saving this year via improved performance and cost reduction. Part of the additional cost savings will come from accelerating on the performance plan. Third, we are also changing the way we work. We familiarize with alternative ways to do our job. We see that some things can be very well managed in distance. We see we can run efficient meetings and collaborate in distance. Certain operational activities, such as ohm meter readings based on estimates, and customer services will also be provided electronically. So all this eases and accelerates the implementation of our efficiency plan and our change in culture. From what we identified in the current context, we can significantly increase the amount of gross savings beyond the 200 million euro originally planned. Among the three sources that I mentioned, the first is temporary, and the two others will remain. Then for you, Julian, some competitors gave some indication into the trends in their business. What are you seeing?
Thank you. The first point, I think, is it is too early, I think, for any of us in the industry to conclude on clear trends. What we see for the moment is that from one country to another, from one industry to another, and from one customer to another, depending on quite specific local circumstances, the impact on timing, the magnitude of the impact, these can all be quite different. We get very clear and precise information on a daily basis from our business. We can see the movements from one day to the next. We can monitor that situation. And therefore, I know that we'll be in a position to update the market in due time as those patterns become clearer. I think most important, we've been able to set up our continuity plans in time. And therefore, we've not suffered any service disruption. We provide vital services such as the supply of drinking water, waste management for municipalities and individuals. We do high quality water supply and treatment, which is vital for a number of industries. It's a key role in public health. So that continuity of service has been central to the way that we've been working over the last few weeks. And everywhere we operate, we believe that we continue to be able to guarantee the reliability and quality of our services. That for the long term is vital. Now, by way of illustration of how variable activity is at the moment, I'll give you two examples, if I may. One which shows lower activity and one which shows higher activity. The first around lower activity is in water. When we talked about China at the end of February, you will recall that we noted that the shutdown of casinos in Macau led to a drop in volumes of water and water consumption. And we expected at that time, and we are seeing lower volumes in places in Europe, for example, which are dependent on tourism. I'll give you two examples, the Canary Islands for one, and for example, ski resorts in France. Now turning to second example, higher activity, and I'm going to choose a waste example here. Now, we do expect to see an impact across Europe, particularly on industrial and commercial waste. I think there's no doubt about that. However, we manage hazardous waste, for example, for most of the hospitals in the Paris area and in the Amsterdam area. And as you can imagine, keeping that activity going is crucial. And in both cases, activity is probably higher than it was a couple of months ago. All our teams are working very hard to make sure that this waste is treated quickly and effectively. And we'd like to thank all of our teams for working in a really dedicated manner to serve our clients. Mathilde, I'll pass back, please. We've got a question on asset disposals. Are we still moving forward with the disposal program? And will we be able to complete these operations in good conditions?
So regarding our asset rotation plan, we continue to move forward and all the projects on all the projects as planned. A lot of work is being done internally by the teams around these disposals, and we remain totally focused on ongoing processes related to the disposal program. As you may have witnessed with recent deals, there is still interest for qualitative assets coming from various types of investors that are ready to pay the price. In addition, however, we recognize the risks and are seeing whether and how we can pull forward disposals from 2021 into 2020. But the set of assets we want to sell will not change. Overall, we want to get on with the process as it is central to our strategic plan. However, we won't do anything that we see is value destructive, and we have the balance sheet flexibility to act in that way. Now, last question for Julien. When will you be able to give an updated guidance for 2020?
We commit to come back with information as soon as we can, but I want to do that only when we're able to be clear and helpful in what we say. Between now and then, we will continue to communicate both through this channel, for example, and through results in the normal way as often as we can and as often as is useful. As of today, it is too early to quantify what will be the impact of the current situation on our financials. There is still too much uncertainty, as I mentioned earlier, about how long will last the measures of lockdown and population containment that have started to be put in place in most countries over the last few weeks. We are and will be impacted by these measures, as we've made clear, especially in our waste business, but it's too early to be precise. We're adapting to this context as well, and the situation is evolving every day. We're able to be active and flexible and to put in place additional extraordinary measures to mitigate the impacts that we see. As I mentioned, in the meantime, we'll continue to use this and other formats to keep you updated and informed, and we welcome your feedback. Mathilde, I hand back to you to close.
Thank you for downloading this. We hope it is useful. I remind you again to be attentive to the introduction and the cautionary comments we made at the outset. We will make another one available in due course and are at your disposal in the meantime for questions.
So from all of us at SUEZ, thank you very much for keeping in touch with us, and we look forward to our next interaction. Thank you and keep safe.